it doesn't help. It doesn't help them. Like, either way, if he's hurt, his riding is going to say it. Like, you don't need to say anything. We all saw, like, Cooper's hurt, you know, so why hold it in at this point? Point that probably came to his mind that he said, damn, I'm not as good as my brother, because my brother would have made it. My brother would have rode it out. It's not as up and down. Like, it's a lot easier to ride, you know, believe it or not. It's actually easier to ride when the bike's slower at altitude. And it's a difference between having a slow motorcycle and then a tame motorcycle.
Little James, Bubba,
Duck to You,
and the AMA Hall of Fame.
But Stewart has found a way to redefine this whole race course.
Oh my goodness.
Fastest guy I've ever seen on a bike.
A win! His second world championship!
You can call him whatever you want. He'll still kick your ass every Sunday.
What's up, guys? You know who it is, your boy JS7. And you know where we're back. We're back at the Rewind Show, baby, for round 16 in the Mile High Stadium. Well, we're looking forward to see Jet Lawrence and Cooper Webb go at it. Didn't happen. It was a brother show this weekend. The brothers from down under. Looking forward to see Eli Tomac come back and see if he can revenge himself. Or would Chase Sexton finally get off that podium and get on the top step of that podium at number one? There was a lot of things happening. Oh, and we had the kitchen and the RJ throwing haymakers and would Far East Coast finally get off the gate? Well, all that stuff was answered in round 16 in Mile High. So you know what we got to do, people. So let's do it. One of the things coming into Denver or even Colorado, you always look forward to the elevation, or not look forward to it, but it's a talking point because, yeah, usually with these guys being in such good shapes, we don't figure out how to combat that on whether you get used to it, you get yourself acclimated to it, or you start just showing up the day of and then get it done like most guys do. But the biggest issue is the motorcycle. The motorcycle becomes a lot slower, and considering the way how Denver is a very hard packed track, Blue Groove, it actually becomes in a favor that your motorcycle is slower, because the track being so slippery, bike being slower actually helps a lot with traction. Because if it was down in elevation, how hard that track was and how slippery, I think these guys would be more all over the place. But since the bike's just a tad slower, it actually helps that point. So the track was pretty simple, wasn't too much going on. It was hard to pass. The whoop section turned out better than I thought. Those guys were able to blitz it or go inside and jump. But overall, the Denver track was tricky. It was a tricky, basic, easy, hard track. Yes, it was a lot of that going on. It was tricky because it was slippery. It was basic because it was nothing that we haven't seen before. But it was a hard packed track. So there you go. But overall, the guys are like, they enjoyed it. No big issues besides that first corner. But overall, Denver was what we expected, a hard packed track.
Just, like I said, doing some stuff, but it is what it is. We're going to come out here, give it our all, see what we can do tonight.
Cooper Webb, coming into this race, it was a must. It was a must. He's been in a must situation, particularly last weekend was a must situation. But this weekend, being 12 points out and watching Jet Lawrence kind of run away from the field, getting that confidence, Cooper Webb needed to go out and do something. We found out right before the race that he sprained his UCL, which coming into this hard packed track at Denver was not going to be well for Cooper. And you could see it. You could see it in practice that they highlighted a few things where he was actually taking his hands off the handlebars. But there was an incident in the heat race on the last lap. You can see him once you land off the finish line, you go through that next section and he comes on to the, it was like a triple on or on off. And if you watch Cooper, he goes on off and then he gets in between that G out. You could see he must have hurt it again there. Back in the day, I broke my navicular, and those incidents or those parts of the track, those were the worst parts, because it's not necessarily like you can't hang on, which you can't hang on, but it's like as you riding, all my riders out there, it's kind of like when you're walking, you miss a step, like you're planning on something being there and it's not, you miss it, you get that G out, like your body's not ready for. Those are the parts where it hurts on the wrist. So when Cooper went on off, I don't think it was like he couldn't hold on. Maybe he was just relaxing and it just looked like a little sharp, like a little jar. But if you look at his body at that point, he like almost starts clamming up. He goes around the 180 and he goes on off, and he land, he hits the triple. When he lands off the triple, he almost tucks the front end again. That's the part where I go back to when you see him on an on-off and that hit, that little double going in the corner, you could tell something wasn't right because he lands off that triple, which would be another point where you're putting all that force on that wrist. He couldn't even hold on. He almost loses the front end. So Cooper was definitely injured. This is the injury that he hurt back in Birmingham, but it didn't look like anything was really holding him back. But if you go back and you think about the last few races, he did say arm pump. And then when you go to Seattle, he didn't look right. He was super tight, but I would feel like Seattle and even the race that he won up in New York would be really like the hard pack. And then Seattle's with all those ruts and having those potholes, those would really call him out. So it must be another issue that he hurt it again since then. Well, nonetheless, he was a wounded duck, and Jet Lawrence, you can sniff the wounded duck. I feel like with Cooper, it's bad timing, of course. It's one of those situations that when you say you heard it, you know, a few weeks ago, people start wondering like, all right, is this an excuse? I don't think it's an excuse. Now, I do think it's hard to be in this spot because he's saying it now and he's saying it in a point to where, you know, the results are starting to go the other way and people are looking at that as a negative. And I feel like we talk about our sport and being mainstream and you think of all the other sports, you know, you hear athletes, they do the opposite. They talk too much, you know, and sometimes with them, they might be hyping up an injury that's not even an injury, where our sport's always been the opposite. We always keep it controlled. We keep it, you know, tight knit. Don't say anything to anybody. And you just wish now what's the point? And I was right there with Cooper and these guys. I used to have injuries that I would never say anything that, you know, hindered me on the motorcycle. I mean, I had the ACL injury, you know, that I rode the whole outdoor season with, you know, my navicular. I didn't say anything about that until afterwards. So I'm not sitting here saying what those guys are doing is wrong because I was right there with them, you know, but being in a position I am now, and I think they will at, you know, when they're done with their career, it doesn't help. It doesn't help them. Like either way, if he's hurt, his riding is going to say it. Like, you don't need to say anything. We all saw like Cooper's hurt, you know, so why hold it in at this point? And again, I was there, so I'm not being hypocritical. I'm just seeing it from a different side. And I think with Cooper, the injury was clear enough. Like you can tell, like the guy wasn't able to ride. And the difference between our sport and others, why I would say, why it doesn't really make sense now. And this is the part where I'm getting at. I don't know why I didn't say anything. I don't know why I didn't say anything to anybody else. Like I was afraid that they were going to use it against me. But at the end of the day, if I was hurt, then I wouldn't be able to perform. You could see it. It's not like the other sports where you're in football, where you've got a wrist injury and you're in a polyp. Somebody can actually like step on your wrist, or even soccer, basketball. Like they can go at it. But those are the sports that talk about it a lot. Well, we don't. We don't have to worry about, you know, somebody coming down and giving me the kung fu kick going down to start straight away. Well, I mean, we did see somebody try to kick, but nonetheless, that usually doesn't happen. So why not say it? And I think with Cooper, it's, you know, I'm not really talking about him, but I'm talking about him just because he's the one, the focal point. It's just a tough situation that now, once you say it, I think the fans on the outside doesn't really understand why we wouldn't talk about it. And then our sport's getting more mainstream. I think people on the outside would look at it as an excuse because they're so used to other sports and other athletes talking about our injuries and all this stuff. So again, I was right there. I don't know why I did it. I always thought it was going to be used against me, but thinking about it, it does not make any kind of sense. And I think those guys might as well say it because, you know, we can see it. And I think as we continue to go on, as his sport continues to grow, I think you'll see a change in there. But, you know, you got to give Cooper credit. You know, I think a lot of these athletes, you know, for us, we feel like saying the injury is saying an excuse, right? Like we talk about an injury, we're hurt. People are going to look at that more as an excuse. And that's probably the reason why, you know, now thinking about it, we don't want an excuse why we lost. But then it's not an excuse if that's really the reason. And if you can't ride around that, then that is the reason. And I think you'd be more served on talking about it. But hey, that's the pot calling the the kettle black as hell because I was right there with him. But Coop, you've been here. You've done it. You went through it. You actually won races. I actually won a race with my ACL torn. You know, so when you hurt, you hurt, and we can all see it. So Cooper Webb, like, he was doing as much as he can. And trust me, it ain't an excuse. We can all see it. And I think in the end of the day, as we go on, it ain't going to really matter. If Jet Lawrence is going to kung fu chop you, he going to kung fu chop you anyway. Might be better. Tell him. Let him know. Say my legs hurt. Hopefully he goes in there, because then J-Bone will be in that wallet. And J-Bone hasn't been in the wallets lately, so give him a reason to do that. So Cooper Webb, keep your head up. It ain't over. It ain't over. Last weekend I said, hey, you know, the fat lady, she's starting to warm her voice up. She putting on her legs. Now she done got the hype man out there. Now the curtains, they're starting to introduce her, but she ain't out on stage yet. And I think Cooper needs to just realize that, hey, it ain't over. We saw what we saw last year. You know, it was Eli Tomac getting popped back from the Achilles. Things can happen. It's slim. I mean, she's skinny, but hey, Cooper, I think Cooper would be fine. He's going to go out there and race. And at the end of the day, that's all he can do. And for him, he would have to go out and have that mindset, because there's no point of going in and somewhat giving up. And I know Cooper Webb ain't giving up, because let's just say something does happen with Jet Lawrence. Cooper has to win that race. You know, he not only, if something happens with Jet Lawrence, it's not like he can finish 19th and win the championship. He would have to perform. And given that injury and kind of given where we see with Chase Sexton, Jason Anderson, and other guys trying to get the last race and trying to get a victory, including Hunter Lawrence, Cooper Webb's going to have to go in with the mindset that there's still a chance that I need to go out there and do my thing. Because even if something does happen to Jet Lawrence, I have to go out and win that race and be performing and just showing up and hoping something happens to him. It ain't going to work, because you have to go out there and still do your job. And I believe Cooper Webb will go out there and try to do his best. And one of those guys that Cooper going to have to deal with in trying to get that victory, another victory this year, is Chase Sexton. Why I'm going to Chase Sexton? Because he got ran over by Cooper Webb.
He's riding hurt. Whoa, down goes Sexton. Oh, and he gets run over by Cooper Webb.
Not intentionally. He ended up tucking the front end and he was down. And Cooper said, damn, my wrist hurt. I ain't hitting the brakes. I'm sorry, bro. I'm going over you. Well, Chase Sexton last weekend rode great. You know, I said he's starting to finally, it looked different. You know, the way Chase was riding, he looked like he started having some speed. And telling him, man, we mental. Any change, whether it is you get a new toothbrush, you ate, you know, peanut butter instead of Nutella this weekend, whatever it is, that change makes us feel like we have power. And Chase Sexton looked good this weekend. Chase Sexton looked more like the Chase Sexton in the past. Yeah, he was still like, he still had the same issues, but you could tell like his riding, like he had a little bit more force, which maybe would say that's what caused the crash. But I'm gonna break that down in a second. But I think Chase Sexton is going in the right spot. Like, you know, I had a chance to talk to Chase last weekend, and I just told him, I was like, dude, you're actually riding really good. And I mean that. You know, I know things are different and you might have the, you know, it doesn't look the same as it was in the past as far as speed and being the fastest. But overall, if you get through this, you're going to be a better rider. And I think what we're starting to see is Chase Sexton kind of understanding this is what it is, and understanding that just because it looks different and this is the way it is, doesn't mean that's a bad thing. And ultimately, once you figure out the speed, I think Chase is going to be a better threat and a harder rider to beat in the championship and overall than he was even when he was fast in the Honda. The reason I said that is because he's going to have to find a different way to go fast. And once he finds that way and he figures that way out, I think Chase Sexton will be fast all the time. You know, like when we watch Chase, his speed has been kind of the same all year long. Like there's really no ups and downs. He had some injuries and that would cause like, hey, you know what? He'd be a little bit off the pace. But overall, Chase has been riding the same all year. He's actually been getting better and a little bit faster, but hasn't been like a huge jump. So I think for Chase, he just needs to keep going. And one of the things that he's struggling with is clearly like the bike, and not saying he's struggling with the bike that it's not rideable, because that's not at all what it is. It's just different. And when you watch Chase, there's a part where he actually goes down. If you look at the lap before, one of the laps before, he hits that on off, and I think he's behind Cooper or behind somebody on the Yamaha, and he goes on off, and they go on off, and they go roll to the inside, and then they roll again, and then they go down that next rhythm section. But if you watch Chase, when he's that lap before he crashed, he goes on off, and then watch his body position as he rolls over that first single. And then in between the first single, hitting that turn and the next one, like you can see him go over that one. And then he actually adjusts his body, like he moves his body, right? And then he goes down that rhythm section. Well, if you go to the next lap where he crashes, watch what he does then. He goes on off and he gets over that single and he doesn't adjust his body. And because he doesn't adjust his body, he ends up losing the front end. Now, the reason that is, I believe, is because one of the things that I see with Chase's bike is that he has a wallow. Now, people say something like, oh, he tucked the front end again. This wasn't a Honda front end tuck. Like, this ain't one of those ones that, okay, you were just pushing it and you just lost the front end. You notice this year when Chase loses the front end, it's like it's really like slow happening. Almost like it's the front end's really soft, like the frame's really soft, to where like when it happens, it's like really hard to catch because it's like a heavy, slow front end tuck. Now, when he goes on out on off, like he's on the front, he's leaning on the front, and he's like kind of just standing there. And the one time he doesn't move back to adjust it, the front end just goes away from him. I don't even necessarily think that was like the tire couldn't hold up, like it was a wash of a front end. I think that was a part of that wallow feeling, to where he's leaning on the front and it just can't hold. And it looks like he just falls over. That's the part that I think when him going the difference of last year and that speed difference and the way he has to go fast around the track is that he's starting to learn with it. But that was the issue that he was struggling in the beginning part of the year, because you can't sit on the front end like you chase. Chase has to be able to do what he did the lap before. Like, he has to adjust his body to take some of that weight off that front end so it doesn't have so much weight, so it doesn't wallow. And because he does that, he can get through that section really quickly. But if he doesn't do it because Cooper or somebody's behind him and he just focused in, he wants to go fast, that small incident where he doesn't remember that, then he just falls over. And I know it's frustrating for him because it's not only you have to deal with a change in a new team and a new motorcycle, you also have to change the way you ride a little bit as well. And as I talked about with Chase, he's like a locomotive. Like, he has to, once he gets going and he gets in a rhythm, then that rhythm is fast. Like, then he can carry that rhythm and he can do it lap after lap after lap. And when we see Chase this year, like last weekend and like this weekend, it's like he doesn't have the burst of speed to where he's not the fastest. But when he starts getting in that mid part of the race and he gets going, then I guarantee Chase is running the same lap times as Jet and all those guys out front. Unfortunately for him, you know, he went down this weekend, and previous races, he's not up there with him. So even if he's running the same lap times or even just a tad bit faster, he lost all the time in the beginning part of the race. So where Chase has the problem at is that he wants to catch those guys. He's probably feeling good. He's in shape. He wants to catch him. It's going from maybe being a tenth, 2/10 faster to like, okay, I can go this pace. And although I'm faster, I got to make up that time. So all I'm going to do is just get close to him. If I want to win, I need to go faster. Well, that's where the issue comes. And every time he tries to do that, then he has the incident where he ends up falling or he makes a lot of mistakes. And again, it's the way he has to go about being fast, like the locomotive, get that thing rolling, he'll be fast. You know, and again, his problem is that burst of speed. So when you look at this weekend, at one point, halfway through that race and most of that race, if you look at where Chase was compared to where Hunter was and Jet, he stayed the same. Like, it was like 12 seconds and it just stayed there forever. Even when Chase was coming up to the pack, he was running the same lap times, if not faster than those guys, but he went down in the first corner, so he couldn't do anything. Imagine like him being 3 seconds behind him. Like, if he tried catching them, then he might have that same issue. He would just have to slowly like do it. So Chase has been fast all year long. And when he's on, like last weekend and this weekend, he is fast, but he still loses that time in the beginning part of the race. And when he tries to override it, he has an issue. So I just think for him, he's doing a great job. He needs to just keep it up. But that incident of where that small body movement of him soaking it up with his body, taking that weight off that front end compared to not, is the difference between him getting on the podium or finishing fourth place, having a good ride, to falling over again. And I don't even think he would even know what to do, except for him just being more aware of that and trying to make sure he's so fundamentally sound on the motorcycle. And I think for a racer, when you get caught up in the battle, it's hard to do. So Chase is figuring it out. That's why he's more consistent. And I think that's why he's getting better and better. But ultimately, like, that's his where he struggles at, but he's starting to figure it out, and hopefully he keeps it going.
Tomac starts to bring it over. He goes down.
Down goes Eli Tomac. Straight back up again, but he's lost about four positions.
Yeah, only thing I would say about Eli, I mean, he had a very quiet night, is now he mentioned that he's going to race the outdoors, which is great. He's going to race the playoff series. I think Eli, maybe the what happened last year affected him. Just the way he is, I don't think it did. I think the only thing is that, okay, now he's committed to next year. I mean, not next year. He's committed to the outdoor series. And unless he gets a start, and the way practice was, and I said in inside line that if you, with him, a couple other guys, you just need to watch practice with those guys. Like, you could tell the way their night's going to go by the way they practiced. Eli wasn't really flashy. So maybe he just didn't feel comfortable on the racetrack, and then he had those couple crashes. He might have hurt his wrist or whatever it was, but I think Eli's checked out. He's going for the outdoors, and he's already moved on. I think Eli's figured out what he needed to figure out. He's figured out he's going to go fast, and at this point, let's just get to the outdoors. Let's start this thing over. I think that's where he is at the moment, and so I don't think there's anything wrong with him. It's not surprising what he did, but I think Eli, because he committed to outdoors, I think his mind's already gone there. And so unless he's out front and he's feeling really good, I think that's the way he's going to ride until we get outdoors. And hopefully he comes back, because he figured out everything he needed to figure out. And so there ain't really no more benefit to go out and try to prove anything to himself at this point. Yeah, he wants to win, but he knows where his mindset is, so I don't think that even bother him at this point. But Jason Anderson, Martha's daddy. Siggy. That was close. Like I said, I mean, we kind of know Jason Anderson. I mean, it's El Hombre. And Kawasaki, like I said, it doesn't work great in everywhere, but it works good everywhere. I mean, I know that's kind of weird to say, but what I'm saying is that it's an all-around good motorcycle. And all around, when it needs traction, it's always been pretty good. It's a long, slow-handling motorcycle. It's pretty good. And considering that, when you think about Mookie Fever and you think about Jason Anderson, like, Jason has altitude issues. Like, he has altitude sickness. That's been a problem. But he comes to altitude and rides well, right? My brother, when he was on 250 class, like, he's one of the biggest dudes out there. He comes to altitude and hole shots. What is it? Well, I think half of it is, like, the guy, they get focused. They know they ain't got no time. Jason knows if he don't come out here and be all in, he gonna be like, you know, he's going to be seeing Bodner and those guys. And Malcolm, like, he knows the bike ain't that fast, so he just has to focus on getting the start. It's like he races like he has the mindset of when he's in the LCQ. Like, he needs to get a whole shot. Otherwise, your ass is going to be going down I-4 with Big Papa, Big J, and that ain't fun. So you whole shot because you got to make the main event. That's how they ride. And a part of it is, too, I think the bike for Malcolm, and when we talk about 450s, that I actually think the power being slower makes it's actually better for him, because it's not as up and down. Like, it's a lot easier to ride, you know, believe it or not, it's actually easier to ride when the bike's slower at altitude. And it's a difference between having a slow motorcycle and then a tame motorcycle, where when you come to altitude, the thing's tame. Like, it doesn't have the instant reaction like that, right? which makes for a guy who's used to riding a slower motorcycle and how they have to make power, it's like normal to him. Maybe the other guys struggle with it. But nonetheless, guy that deals with altitude sickness and one of the bigger guys on the track, like that's where they perform at the best. You know, Malcolm finally came out. And I will say this, when you watch him rail around that corner, that's when you realize there's a point when he goes around that corner and there's a point that probably came to his mind that he said, damn, I'm not as good as my brother because my brother would have made it. My brother would have rode it out.
And here comes Malcolm Stewart. Whoa! Malcolm right around the outside on the high line.
Damn!
Yeah, I know people. That was wrong. That was wrong. Hey, all right. Sorry. But hey, he hit that corner, though. He hit the corner. You know, but hey, sometimes you do run out a little talent. You know, that's a little difference. But on the real, he was actually riding pretty good. And I kind of knew he would because for whatever reason, like Salt Lake City, Colorado, Malcolm always rides good here. But even Martha's daddy, Jason Anderson, like he won here in the past. I mean, Siggy, he won here in the past. And coming off last weekend, you know, doing it for Cynthia, getting that third place, you know, he wanted to back up. And I'd said that he probably wouldn't win, but he would actually be up there. And that's exactly what Jason did. And for him, that was good to see. So always good when El Hombre, you know, doesn't shoot too many people and he gets out and does it for Cynthia and everything was good. And we see Malcolm, we need the hair flying. We need the fever back. We need people to make business decisions, whether they're going to get up on this board or not. So it was good to see him back there. And the way the track was laid out, again, just like the KTM, softer motorcycle or a bike that if you're kind of struggling on speed, you know, this year, speed isn't your thing, then these types of track, with it being slippery, hard pack, you need more traction, it's going to bode well for you. And it did with Malcolm and Jason to see those guys. So good to see him up there. Hopefully Salt Lake City is going to be somewhat of the same condition. So don't be surprised to see them back up there again. And then we move outside. So shout out to those two. And then we have Hunter Lawrence. Yeah, baby. Yeah. Hunter's been quick all year long. His results don't say he has, but he's been pretty good. And I think with Hunter, it's no secret. He likes to start off. He likes to make sure he gets through all five courses of the meal. Like he's the type of guy that they'll bring the soup and then they'll bring the salad. But before he touches the salad, he's going to finish the soup. And before he touches his meal, even though everybody else is eating, they might be on desserts. Hunter's still finishing the salad because he's going to finish that before he goes to the next one. And that's how his season has been going. He makes sure that he's well warmed up before he gets out there. He's going to take his time, make sure he feels comfortable, make sure the bike is working. And there ain't nothing wrong with that because that ends up turning into races like he had this weekend. And it turns into championships and where his career has been up and down, being hurt. Maybe he jumped to dessert too quickly. And he was still eating a salad and he choked on a crouton, whatever it was. But Hunter has a process and his process is starting to come true. And the way he looks is dude's going to win a race. Now, he might not win it next weekend because that's his only shot to win this year's Supercross. But I guarantee you, when you get to next year and this outdoors, he will be a force to be reckoned with. He will be one of Jet's main competitions. And it's going to be because rides like that. And I think with Hunter, when I go back to it, I said he's been riding good all year. Results don't say they have. And when we're looking at inside line, I'm like, he's better or worse than seventh place. It even got Vegas full. But when you start looking at the numbers, Hunter's been pretty damn solid. Hunter's been solid. You have to read in between the numbers, read in between the lines with that dude. And it was good to watch him go out. And he looked comfortable until he didn't look that comfortable. For him, it was a perfect scenario to be in because one, he's out front. Track is one of those tracks that you have to be very patient on and, you know, be calculated. You got your brother in the back. Your brother's there, but he's not like super close. So you're not holding him up and you had a good pace and you guys are almost working together. It makes you feel comfortable. He's comfortable. Nobody's catching you from the back. And then once you start making the mistakes, then Jet gets close. You just let him go by. But being that your brother loves you, and if it was any other race besides this one and your brother didn't eat those points, your brother probably would let you win the race. But Jet, I don't know if this was planned or just worked out. Jet did you a favor as well, because he didn't pass you and dip off. Like, he passed you, and maybe that's all the speed he had, because you were riding pretty good. So maybe he didn't allow this to happen. Maybe you did. But since when he passed you, he didn't get away from you, kept you focused in on somebody in front of you, compared to, you know, we all know as riders, like you get passed, and then next thing you know, your brother pulls away or somebody pulls away, you start riding behind you. We saw it happen with Cooper last weekend. Most of these guys having that rabbit in front of you, having that hope in front of you, where Hunter did this weekend, allowed him to stay focused on Jet, which when Jason was catching him, Jason couldn't catch them, and he was able to pull away. So Hunter rode great. It ain't surprising. The dude, it was nice to see them go out, and I'm sure they were having fun, and I'm sure Jet, both of them liked it, loved it actually. And just being a dad, I can only imagine what their dad, when they showed him down to the podium, how special that was. That was pretty cool. But Hunter, you're doing your thing. We already know it. Jetson knows it. Everybody knows it on the Honda. Like, now he's starting to get to that main course. And once he gets to that main course, better watch out, because he will be a force to be reckoned with. And don't be surprised, people, if we keep saying the brothers have done it again. The brothers have done it again. And because I expect this to continue to happen, because we saw once Hunter gets rolling, he gets rolling. Nothing you can do about it. So, which leads me to the younger brother, which been saving him for the dessert. Well, it's not even dessert. He's been the appetizer. He's been the pre-menu. He's been everything, because the kid has stepped up and stepped up when he needed to. And when we see Cooper Webb having injuries and other guys going, like, he's been consistent. And when they needed to get it done, he has been getting it done. And this weekend, he was able to get it done with his brother, which ironically, when you watch both of those guys, visually, they look the same. But when you start looking at their riding styles, quite a bit different. Like, they're quite a bit different. When you watch Jet, his riding style, like, he rides, he stands up a lot, which Hunter does as well. But Jet stands up. Like, he'll stand up through corners. Like, he rides like a guy who rode sand quite a bit in his life. Like, he rides his power delivery. Like, there's no stop and go. Like, there's no sitting down. Like, you know, as much as Hunter does, like, Jet rides, like, again, he's riding the sand track. Well, when you look at Hunter, I always felt like I liked that Hunter's technique better, even though Jet's is beautiful as well. But I liked the Hunter's technique better, because he could ride hard pack, sand, he could ride all kind of conditions, because he sits down more in spots. When you watch him ride around the racetrack, Hunter has more of a, I would say, an American riding style, in the sense of where, you know, when you look at RC, even McGrath, and, you know, Ryan Dungey, like, Americans, we sit down more for whatever reason. Just the tracks, they're a little bit different. We sit down more, where Europeans, they stand up, like Stefan Evers, whatnot, Jeffrey Hurst, they stand up more. Well, that's kind of what Jet does. He stands up a lot, but Hunter goes both ways. So it makes it to where he could ride a track like Salt Lake and ride a track like Southwick and ride a mud race just as well, where when sometimes you see Jet, like, not saying he has a problem riding anywhere, but he rides sand really good. But then in mud, like, we saw him a couple mud races this year, he struggles. Where I feel like with Hunter, because he sits down and the way he rides the motorcycle, like, he moves around a little bit more and he's up and down more than Jet, which therefore, like, he can throw both legs out and ride sitting down on the seat, where Jet continues to ride standing up. And we saw that transition on where Jet was struggling. Wouldn't even say he's struggling. He just doesn't ride as mud as well as I would say his brother does, because his brother sits down. But I think he did beat his brother to his races. So what the hell are you talking about? Nonetheless, they ride a lot different. And watch the race. Like, you can see Hunter sit down in a certain spot, Jet won't. They end up coming out the same, but they're different. And it was good to see. But back to Jet, his ride style was pretty good this weekend. And it was a situation where he was in a perfect situation, because once he got out front, he kind of, Hunter still had a good pace. And as I was mentioning about Hunter, like, he latched onto him. But when Hunter was leading, Jet was in a great spot, because Hunter wasn't holding him up. And Hunter got away from Jet just enough to where Jet wasn't, like, all up on him. He can see the whole racetrack. And they were pulling away from everyone else to a point to where at least they wasn't catching them. And I was talking to Cole before the show. I said, that whole race, the person who dictate that race, it wasn't Hunter. It wasn't, you know, Jason Anderson. Wasn't even really Jet. It's Cooper. Cooper dictated on what Jet was going to do. Like, what Cooper was doing would have changed all the scenarios of what Jet would have done. Cooper was coming up. Jet would have passed Hunter earlier. Hunter would probably let him by. But just like we saw at Nashville, Cooper Webb dictates the race. You know, he's lingering, he's doing his thing. So which allows Jet to be in a spot to where he can rock comfortable and slowly get warmed up. And if Hunter's doing his thing, let Hunter do his thing. Because what I'm also doing, I'm putting distance between Hunter and third place. At no point was Hunter going to win that race. He was not going to win that race unless Jet fell. He was not going to win that race. I don't care. Hunter could have led all those laps. He could have led 19 minutes and 58 seconds. But he would have slowed down and let Jet go past because Jet needed those points. And so knowing that, Hunter was always going to end up behind Jet in this race. But he had a good pace. And what Jet was doing was keeping Hunter out away from, one, he wants his brother to get second place, but keeping him away from even Cooper Webb or anybody else because he had that pace. And so he was somewhat playing a block. By doing that, Cooper Webb's back there. Nobody else is catching him. It allows Jet to just have fun, dude. He's relaxed. He's cruising. And when you're riding with your brother and one second fastest guy in the class, a guy that's good, it allows you to just be really comfortable. Allows Hunter to go out there and figure it out. Once Hunter start making mistakes and realizes, like, damn, dude, I'm winning this race. Like, I can actually possibly do it, even though I'm not going to do it. But, like, it's real. Like, I'm out here doing this. Start getting a little nervous. Start making a couple mistakes. Jet's like, hey, I don't got time for this, bro. I don't got time for this. You saw the mechanic all happening in one lap. Hunter made a couple mistakes. Jet decided, nah, this is too much. Because El Hombre, you don't want to give him some bullets because he will go out there. He don't care about the points. He wants to do it for Susie. He will do it for Cynthia. And Siggy will see your daddy on the win if I allow him to go up. So Jason started coming. The mechanic was like, pointing back, and instantly that same lap they got passed. But Hunter regrouped, and because once he got passed by Jet, you know, Jet was there, and Jet started towing him along as well. And as I mentioned earlier, it's like a racetrack dog. Like, he has somebody to chase, and Hunter was able to regroup and pull away from Jason. So it was really cool to see both those guys work together, and I know they were having fun. Jet was really in a good spot because even when you're in second and a guy's in front of you and you know that pace, always mention it's hard to be out front because the guy in front of you, he doesn't know if the guy behind you is like all in. Like, he can't see it, but the guy in second can see, and he knows himself, like, dude, I'm barely holding on. Or if you make a mistake out front, that guy sees that. So it allows him to feel, okay, well, Jet was in that spot. So he was actually being able to ride. Even if he was all out, he was able to do it at a real calm pace, saving energy because he can see what was going on in front of him. And he knew the situation where Hunter was eventually going to let him by, but he could stay at that pace without taking too much risk. And you saw it play out to the fullest. So any other race, I guarantee Jet probably would let him win. Jet's going to win a lot of more. He's going to win a lot of races. And if Cooper would have had like a DNF or Cooper was back in 15th, Jet probably would let him win. But he need those points because, again, as a fat lady, she getting ready. And I don't even think she's fat. She could be beautiful. Anyway, she's got her hype men out. They're starting to open up the curtains. But until her ass comes out on that stage, it ain't over. And Jet needs all those points because no matter what happens, even if he doesn't wrap up the championship, which he didn't, the more points he has, if something does happen to him, which means Cooper still has to go out and win that race. So it's not just, okay, I got a 15-point lead or I got a 20-point lead. Well, if something does happen, I'm going to make this dude go out and have to win. And those 3 points, if he was in that spot, he would have to go out and do it. So I think it was cool to watch those two. And again, we saw history being made there, but I'm telling you right now that the history is going to be repeating itself quite a bit because once one gets going, they're both good. And that's going to be your championship unless other guys step up. But Jet, I can sit here and talk about everything, but dude, for reals, like we watched this kid grow up. He watched make some mistakes. and everything this season, this championship probably would have been over if he wouldn't have made no mistakes, but you got to give the kid credit. When other guys were stepping up, we saw Cooper Webb getting his thing, gotten rolling, just like he came in Daytona, like he stepped up and got it done. And people could say whatever it is. They could say, well, Eli was out. Well, this guy was this. Well, Chase, it don't matter, because to do, you have to go up and line up to race. And when he had to go do it, those other guys didn't, and he did. And that's why he's going to be, if everything goes well, he's going to be your champion. And right now, he's going to get another one of these like he had in the past. So please, do me a favor, Cole. Hit it for him.
Suntan, next on fire.
Yes, it is on fire. I was saying about Eli. I was like, all right, Eli was getting black last year, but my brother from down under is really becoming my brother from down under. And it was cool to see. So it's raining red. Honda had a great night, didn't they? They just dominated everything. Everything, which brings me to my next point. So there's your 450 class, Jetson, Hunter, the Fever, everyone else. Cooper, keep your head up. She warming up. She coming out on stage, but ain't over until you're over. Eli, you fine. You doing your thing. And Susie's daddy, Cynthia, Siggy, y'all straight. But the 250 class, we're going to get into this one because we had Levi Kitchen and RJ. RJ been doing, he's been keeping it real. And I was interested to see what happened with RJ this weekend, because last time he had the red plate was the last time he had the red plate, and he didn't have it for that long. We saw Levi, besides the one time he was down getting those jeans dirty, he's been pretty dominant. So with Levi, if he was healthy, would he be able to come back out and lay wood like he was doing previous to that? Would RJ be able to stand up to the pressure and represent for the day's city finest? Well, we found out this weekend. I thought RJ rode great. RJ, good thing for him is that just like even with Malcolm, and for whatever reason, going altitude, RJ won here last year, and he won in the RJ fashion, like off the track, like out of the race, but somehow comes back, and just because he never gives up and won. And the person that he beat was the person that he's got a race against right now, and Levi. So he had a good feeling. So I think that helps him a lot. And the whole pressure situation, I think he was so focused on that and possibly not being out front allowed him to be chasing that rabbit, as I was saying with the 450 class and maybe Hunter. But I thought RJ rode good. I thought Levi rode good too. Levi looked healthy. He looked solid. And he kind of looked like he did previous to this.
Look at Levi Kitchen's boot has come undone. His left boot.
His left boot, yeah.
All his buckles are undone.
Levi boot situation. Dude, he got lucky. He got lucky. If that other strap was like done, I was actually thinking that at first it was, and then he kept riding. I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm gonna just tell you how difficult that would be. First off, his boot probably would have fell off. The way he rides, you grip, everything's gripping with your boot. So him busting open two straps in the beginning, it causes a lot of issues. One, safety, but we don't care about that, whatever. I don't even need a leg. If I win this championship, you can take my leg, whatever. That's how most of them think. But his knee brace, I was thinking about his knee brace falling down. And luckily, since everybody likes to, you know, do what, you know, we do at seven, we keep them nice and form fitted. It keeps them knee braces. And I'm sure they changed a little bit. So first thing, back in my day, my knee brace would have fell down, which if it slides down, I can't even bend my knees because the way it would go, that would have been an issue. And then two, when you're trying to grip the bike, every time you grip, even if you're trying to, you grip with your knees, your boot would get caught and then your foot would start moving up and down like in the boot because it's not being hinged on there. So it could have caused a lot of issues, but luckily for him, the last two straps, they stayed intact because if one of them would have broken loose, Levi would have probably had to pull in and strap that, strap it back up to finish that race because he wouldn't have been able to finish. Otherwise, he would have been worried about his boot coming off, his knee brace would have fell down, or even worse, it would have got caught on the bike, which was another thing I was thinking about happened because he's moving, it's flapping around. But for him, he was strapped in for that win. So for Levi, all the things that could have burnt down in the kitchen to have the straps on the boots caused you, even that couldn't take you out. But that was crazy. I was watching it. I was like, dude, he's going to have to pull in. He's going to have to pull in. But luckily, they held on. Keep it strapped tight. There you go. But the only difference was Far East Coast. Far East Coast, Joe Shimoda finally got off the gate. And not only did he get off the gate once, he got off the gate twice. So Far East Coast, this is what Joe does. Joe, like he, you know, you expect Joe to come out and it's Joe time. It's Joe time. Then you're like, man, where Joe at? Then it's Far West Coast. Where he at? And then next thing you know, he starts catching on fire. He goes good. And we see Joe ride like he did this weekend. And I would say Joe rode probably like that last few weekends that he been out there. But the difference is he got off the gate. And when Joe gets off the gate, hey, he the best in the field. Like there's no difference between him and Levi and RJ. When Joe's out front and Joe is feeling the flow, actually Joe might be better than all of them. Well, we saw Joe get off the gate and Far East Coast let him have it. And it was cool to see that because it's been a while since he got off the gate and stayed up, right? And he got off the gate not once, not twice. And leading into the motocross series, if Far East Coast getting off the gate, we saw what he did last year and the year previously, he starts getting rolling. So championship-wise, yeah, he might be out. I don't know. I don't know how the points. Is he far enough back? Is he still technically, mathematically, ABC, 5 out of 4 people struggle? Is he still in championship? While Cole figuring that out, I'm going to keep talking. Did you figure it out? Yes. So technically, mathematically wise, ABC, add him up, 1, 2, 3. He is still mathematically inclined that he has a possibility if something happens to both of them. And he would have to go out and win the race, which if he rides anything like he did this weekend, he would have a shot. Far East Coast could be your champion. And considering he DNF one of the races, like, and I would say in most of our eyes, including Joe, this season has been a disappointment because he was supposed to be a title favor. I mean, I would almost say it was somewhat like we were talking about Chase Sexton a few weeks ago, that we were, that's expectations is to win. Expectations is to see what he did like last weekend. And because he wasn't doing that, he wasn't getting off the gate. You're like, dude, he sucked. But then when you look at it right now, like you're going in the last race with a DNF, first race win of the year, he's still somewhat, even though it's a long shot, he still has a shot. So it just shows you what our expectation is, Joe, because he is that damn good that we thought. This season's been a failure, but when you look at it, it has not, considering everything that's been going on. But I know Joe wants more. And Joe, Far East Coast, needs more than this. He needs more performances than this. And I'm sure when he got off the race, he was like, it's about damn time that this is happening, because this can happen all the time. But Far East Coast did his thing. Levi Kitchen, RJ, it's going to be on, bro. It's going to be on. You got the championship in the East Coast, at least with those guys. It's a little bit more strung out. Tom Vial's got to avoid Danger Boy, you know, and Danger Boy is going to at least go out there and be like, look, I want to be the best of everybody else because I need to send a message going in the outdoors. And then you got Levi and RJ. They got a race. They're going to both have red plates going into the last race. Correct, right? So they're both going to have red plates. I was waiting on Cole to just double confirmation, which I already knew. They both got red plates. They got to go out and race. So, whoo, and I think they're tied on wins as well. So it's really whoever beats whoever. Don't really matter how you finish as long as y'all in the main event, because y'all can't not be in the main event. That'd be some stuff, right? Can you imagine that? Let's just say hypothetical. What if they get in there and they start going at it in the heat race and they don't make it? And then they go at it in the LCQ and they don't make it. And Far East Coast wins that main event, then he would be your champion. And we talking all this stuff because the math works out. It would work out that way. That's crazy. Don't think that's going to happen. But hell, like I would say I've seen Stranger Things. I have not. But there's always time for something even stranger to happen, and that would be strange as hell. But Levi Kitchen, RJ, I don't have to stress how important this is. You guys already know, and the people in TV land. So thank you very much for giving us what we're about to see. We got to watch Tom Vial do his thing, Danger do his thing, and those guys go at it. But for this weekend, it is Far East Coast time, and it's been far too long. Joe, hit it for him, Cole, please.
Suntan, next on fire.
By time, Joe, by time, I told you, get off the gate, you can get off the gate, you get off the gate, and you win. And you got off the gate in the heat race, you got off the gate in the main event, and you won. And it was like, okay, what happened? And I know you got a little nervous out there. You're like, oh, man, whatever. But Joe, you know what time it is. And you're going outdoors, so it's Joe time. I expect nothing less than more of this Far East Coast Joe Shimoda. Good job, kid. Killing it. And Honda, give you a shout out, man. Y'all won every damn thing. Y'all went 1-2. Y'all don't even have any more red bikes on there because y'all too busy winning. Too busy winning. Chance, it's your turn. What you doing? What you doing? I know you weren't there racing, but what you doing? What you doing? It's Chance Hymus time. So, good job, Joe. All right, people. I want to get into the questions. So, let's get into them. Thank you, Cole.
Okay, so TMF Nick asks, do you think Chase could have beaten Jet if not for the first turn mishap? He had the speed, it seemed.
What's going on, man? Do I think Chase could have beat Jet if he wouldn't have had the first corner? I think Chase could beat anybody whenever he's on form. Do I think he would have beat him that weekend, last weekend, which was your question? I don't know. I mean, I think with Chase, it's the way he's been going fast all year. It's been a different type. I think he would have to be out in front with Jet, and Jet would have to be, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like I'm dodging the question. Although Chase had the speed, it'd just be something that he would have to do something that we haven't seen him do. So do I think he can do it? Absolutely. Do I think he would have done it? I don't think I'm going to believe that until he does it. But everything's laying in front of him. And if he's riding good, then yes, he can. He just hasn't done it yet. So it's a way to dodge around your question without answering it. And I know that. But if you're going to put me on the spot, I would say no at this point. But he can.
Wes Burns 18 asks, do you think these tracks this season, for the most part, lack passing opportunities?
I love my fans. Wes Burn, what up? Westbrook? Russell? Nah. See, y'all very, very aware. Definitely the tracks this year have been different. And although they've been cool, and, you know, we think about like, all right, like I haven't seen anything. Like, I'm like, man, that's stupid. But the passing has been somewhat suspect. And really comes down to where they put one corner. Like if you put one corner here, 190 here, it changes the whole racetrack. And I can't really remember any track that stands out to me this year, which tells me that there hasn't been anything different. I don't think the tracks are bad. I just think like the way everything lines up and tracks, yeah, it's been a little bit more difficult to pass compared to some years where they have big whoop sections. I think that's where it really comes down to it. When they start changing other things for safety reasons or whatever, then it lacks that opportunity to pass. And this year, it's been a little bit more difficult. So, yeah, it's been lacking passing opportunities for sure.
Colleen Panado asks, did Malcolm run out of talent on that pass?
Nah, Colleen, you got like the one segment. Okay. Well, I'll say this. I mean, you brought it up. I didn't bring it up. Although I brought it up earlier. I was joking. No. He hit that damn corner pretty fast. And you got to have talent to go in there and hit that corner pretty damn fast. But I would say that his brother would have made it. That's all I'm saying. You could take that as whatever you want. I would just say, you know, I had a lot of talent, and it's a lot easier for me to be right here to say your brother would have made it, because I don't know if your brother would have made it. Yeah, he would have. So I don't think he ran out of talent. I just think he doesn't have as much talent as to his brother that would have made it. So you can take that for what it is. So Kelly, great, great question. Would he ran out of talent? His brother would have made it, but he has a lot of talent. So there you go.
Resinger MX713, I may pronounce that wrong, asks, who has the advantage, Levi or RJ?
I mean, let's get serious, people. Let's get serious. Great question. And I haven't really thought too much about this. I would say Salt Lake City track, right? It's going to be probably hard, slippery, rocky. They went 2-3 last year. I would say Levi would have the advantage because the way he rides, he's very skilled, technical. He keeps all the boot buckles strapped. You know, he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. And I think he would ride this slippery soil pretty good. But the Husky works really good as well. Like, we've seen RJ go through the whoops all year long with no care in the world. Last weekend, RJ seems to be able to ride his motorcycle at the max on that limit and be comfortable doing that. So Salt Lake City, a slippery track, it's going to be like last weekend, maybe even slippery because of rocks. All the pressure, you're going to have to find a rider who's comfortable being really uncomfortable. So when you put that up, you would almost say RJ, because the way he rides, it's like he doesn't care about anything. And so I think you got a perfect matchup between skill and guy one with his motorcycle to the other one, where a guy that just doesn't look like he should be able to be there, doesn't look like he has as much talented, but he figures out a way to do it. And that's RJ, and you got Levi. So you got the perfect contrast of two different riding styles, probably two different mindsets going in and all out war. So I don't know. I really don't know who this favors because of that difference. If you're just talking technical, Levi, but if you're talking about just straight, I got to figure it out, popcorn lady, then go RJ. Well, 6 days, we're going to find out, and your boy going to be there. So we'll find out together.
All right, last one. Riley Long asks, do we expect to see Jet go all out this week or just have a good ride and try to avoid mistakes?
Hey, Riley. We expect him to go all out. I don't think anything's going to change. I think circumstance, Jet's probably going to go out and probably win the race. I think he's so comfortable and knowing that what's going on with Cooper, he's got a lot of room to play with. I think this is going to be probably the most, I wouldn't say relaxed, because there's something about championship that makes your britches get tight. No matter how big a points lead you got, we saw it with Chase last year, even though he won the race, it just does something. So Jet's going to have to deal with that. But I don't think he's going to be worried about what Cooper is doing necessarily. It's just the championship pressure of being his first one, which might make him, you know, maybe not take any chances. But I think if Jet has something he wants to do, let's say he wants to get to double digit wins, or I don't know how many wins he's got, but if he's saying, I want to do this, then I think Jet will go out and win the race. If he doesn't, and his whole goal is like, I just want to wrap championship up, then he might just go out and let it come to him. Therefore, the reason I answer that, because let's say what happened this weekend happens next weekend. If Hunter can hold his own, I think he'll let Hunter win the race. Really do. And he wraps up champion, I think he'll let him win the race. And Jet has so much talent, and what's going on with the rest of the field with everybody being so up and down, emotional bound, Chase has to get going. Jet could just stay up and win the race because he's just that talented. So he might not try to go out and win the race, but it could just happen just because it just happens. But I think he'll probably go out and win the race, but not going in there saying, that's what I'm going to do. Not all out. I think he'll just win the race just because he's just going to win the race. All right, people. I was waiting for the next question, but there is no next question. So you know what time it is. My second favorite time, because I love answering the questions. Maybe your favorite time, Stew and Stews. So let's get into it, because we don't have to go anywhere else. So first on this list is Far East Coast. Stu, wait, I did that a little different because I just got into it. So Stu, got it, did it better than everybody else. Got it, finally got off the gate. Got it, just does everything wrong, but always does it right. Well, that ain't this guy, because this dude is Joe Time. And when Joe Time's on, it's Show Time for Far East Coast. And Joe Shimoto is first on this list. And it's the first time he's been on this list this year. So he's going to be first on the Stu list. And that's Far East Coast. Joe Shimoto, why are you? Because you won? Yes, I'm going to give you that. Because you ain't default, because you got to have multiple wins to get defaults. And we haven't had multiple wins this year, which we should have multiple wins, which could be multiple wins by going out winning East-West Shootout next weekend. But we ain't there. We still here. So why? because you've been fast. Now you've been fast all year long. Why? Because you stayed off the ground. Well, hell, like that's just hard to do because you got off the gate. That's why I'm giving you a stew, because I've been telling you to get off the gate. He's been thinking about getting off the gate. So he went back, figured out how to get off the gate, and he got off the gate. Maybe because it was at altitude. Maybe the bike slowed down. Maybe the power deliverance is different, because when somebody figures out how to get off the gate and they go not once, not twice, but two times. Wait, that is two times. Math is right. That might be a little something thinking about it. Joe, maybe figure out the power situation. Maybe the power's been too much. Going out too slows the bike down, you get off the gate. Hell, I don't know, but you get off the gate, which makes you a stew and you won. So Joe Shimoda, Far East Coast, Far Downtown, Far Downtown. What? It's about time. You can blame my kids for doing all that, because it just seems like every time I'm yelling, and I don't even know why I'm yelling. I just yell and they don't listen. They don't listen. Why these kids this way? Why these kids? They luckily, I got all these cameras around the house. I can't beat them. Can't beat them without being caught on the camera. It's bad time. I need to go back to the back in the day where you have to text. I can just take the phone away from them. You can't call them. Whatever. But nonetheless, Far East Coast, Joe, good job. And my next one is obviously Jet Lawrence. Jet Lawrence, you keep going out and you win. So I'm going to just give you, I'm going to be boring this weekend. Yeah, you astute. Why? Because you just win. You just win. You were going to let your brother win, but you never was going to let your brother win, because your brother was never going to win, because he knew you needed to win and you needed points. And Cooper Webb was back there not winning, because that's all you do is winning. And at the end of the day, one Lawrence was going to win. So you might as well be you, because the other one wasn't going to take it. So Jet Lawrence, you astute, because hell, we already know why you that. And I'm going to throw out Hunter and Siggy's daddy. Hunter, you led some laps. You was out front, which you led laps before, and you never was going to go for the win because you know you didn't need to win. But look, you're going to the other portion of the dinner, which you're going to eat that. So Hunter, you as Stu, and Martha's daddy, Jason Anderson, she's going. I mean, Kelly. Yeah, no, wait, is it? Yeah. Jensen. No, that ain't it. What is it called? No, Cynthia. No, Siggy. Siggy's daddy, back to back. Whatever. Did he get third this weekend? He got third, right? Making sure. All right. Just making sure, because sometimes I feel like I'm going deja vu. Like I just saw what I saw, and I saw Cynthia's daddy get third last weekend and Martha's daddy get it third. Anyways, Jason Anderson, you astute. Chase Sexton, keep your head up, son. You fine. That tuck of the front end was not the tuck of the front end in the past. Like it's just, you know, hell, it's different when people watch. Things be going like, that's what happens sometimes with his front end. It's just my way. So there's my stews. All of them with stews. Malcolm, dude, you did it. You were going all the way, all around, and you didn't run out of talent. Your brother would have made it. But hey, look, people, I'm just not kidding. All right. So whatever. Brotherly love. Brotherly love. See, I'm glad I wasn't on a broadcast, because that would have popped out my mouth and I can't take it back. Yeah. So I can at least see how it listens and tell Cole not to put it in there, but I'm not. I'm gonna have him put it in there. So it is what it is. But everybody, y'all was fine. All right, Stu, pissed off. Pissed off because there's no reason to be pissed off. So I'm not even gonna go through this segment. There's no reason to be pissed off. You can be pissed off because Cooper didn't say he was hurt, but look, I mean, he wasn't that pissed off because the dude was hurt. Like, what do you expect? Nobody wants to do that. Like, we were confused, but we wasn't confused because you could tell that he was hurt, but he wasn't like hurt, but he was still fast because he's an athlete. And you're like, damn, Cooper is fast because this is what he does, but we don't even know what the hell he does. So it's kind of confusing, but we knew whatever. And we saw Far East Coast get off the gate, which he hasn't got off the gate all year long. We were like, whoa, he got off the gate. So that was confusing. But then you realize like, hey, well, maybe it was a power difference. So nonetheless, there's no reason to be stewed. There's no reason to be confused. And that's it. That's the end of the show. So that was it from round 16, where you saw Mile High, you saw Jet Lawrence win, you saw Far East Coast win. You saw Honda always winning. You saw Chase Sexton tuck the front end, but it wasn't like the tuck in the front end. It was fine. And then the rest of the things, you saw Malcolm make it all around the corner until he didn't. His brother would have made it, but that was it. So I'll see you guys next weekend. Your boy going to be on the tube. Then I'll see you back here next Tuesday, where we'll be wrapping up three titles from Salt Lake City. Until then, your brother would have made it. Bye. I just want to color. I ain't going nowhere. I'm gonna finish coloring. I'm walking off.